Hello, everybody. This is Tevo D'Arcy, and I'm here with my friend and good companion. This is Pam Lowy. She's a writer, she's a mature author, and she's a very good friend of mine. She's also Jewish. She's Jewish that was raised without any theology and no religious background, she says. So we meet together at times and we'll discuss the theology, just the Bible, the Old and New Testament. Anything you want to say?
Yeah, I think you summarized it very well.
So we laugh and we have a good time. And today I'm gonna let her ask me questions.
Okay,
All right.
first question, talking about the Old Testament, what passage or part of it do you find most valuable? I know that's a tough question.
Well, I have thought in the last couple of years, I've thought that if I were to pick two books, one in the Old Testament, one in the New, that I would pick Isaiah as the Old Testament book.
Okay.
It is so meaty. It's got so many messages in it. And then I would pick Ephesians, Paul and Ephesians community for the New Testament. Yes, but for the Old Testament, let's just stick with that one. What I love is Isaiah is a national prophet that gives a warning to God's people, not to the other, to the Hebrew people. And in Isaiah 1 through 10, he gives the characteristics of why they need to repent. But I would pick out of my verse, out of all the ones, there's Isaiah 53, the portrait that's not often talked about of the suffering servant, the portrait of Christ. There's Isaiah 11, 2 and 3, the portrait of Christ again, the coming Messiah who had not judged by his eyes or, he had filled with God's seven spirits. But the one that I would pick for now, that really lights my fire is Isaiah 1:18. And that would be for the national body of Christ, the national people, Isaiah 1:18. And it says, The Lord says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, he will wash them white as snow. And it mentions about the wool, the white as wool. So I picture in light of everyone having a major backstory. Some are crying shame. Some are just, oh, we're so good. But whatever it is, whoever it is, ministry, Christian, fatigued or not, I believe that in light of the world that we live in, no matter how bad, how long, how evil, or how rich or poor, I think it's got to be that everybody says, no matter how bad, no matter what it was, no matter who, no matter what I didn't do, no matter what I did, God will forgive. Though your sins, that is no point in saying, I'm going to hold your sin like some of these people are doing, throwing the book at people. Come, let us reason together. And if I can say one more thing about that one, right? It's about a relationship. It's not about hiding in the garden, trying to get away from the sin, trying to duck, confronting somebody. It is a relationship with the Lord, says, no matter what. No matter who, I can go to the Lord again. Now, people, God's people may throw the book at you, throw stones, which they will, but you got to know no matter that, go to God anyway. That's what I think.
Okay, so you said Isaiah
118.
118. All
In
right, let
fact,
me
if you would
find
like
it.
to read it in full, I just paraphrased it and left out a little tad of it.
Okay, and I have to say that because I have so little religious background, I am really just starting to explore both the Old and New Testament. My friend here is so helpful.
Pam learned where the concordance was to tell where the Bible verses are last week.
Right, I
That's
did.
good. Amazing.
Yeah. So at my
You take your time. You
advanced
take your
age,
time.
I am trying to learn 5, 5, 6. All right. And my family, I should say, we have a mix of religions. My husband is Catholic, though he hasn't gone to church for a while because of the pedophile priests and the lack of action that was taken on that in the Boston area. My grandchildren, who have an Irish American father from the South, who was raised Catholic also are being raised as Jewish, because my daughter has gotten a lot more religious than I have. And my other son's children are being raised Catholic, because
wow.
that is so important to my daughter-in-law, who's from Peru. And I think whatever is meaningful to people is the way to go.
What I'm doing with her, I don't want to tell anybody anything that makes them do anything or believe anything. Mm-hmm. I want the Lord to tell you, and you'll hear God. He can tell anybody what he wants them to know. So we're asking people who are in ministry to let people think, let people hear, and then God is big enough to, when they're alone or with somebody, he can just get to them a verse or their idea. Let people do it. I think we need to just quit this religious, stone throwing, all this stuff that goes on. We're not PC, I'm not minimizing, I'm not compromising, but I'm thinking, let people breathe. I think that's it. Pam has got a great head on her shoulders.
I don't know. So where was this again?
Isaiah 118.
Isaiah 118.
Chapter 1.
Oh, 118.
So you want chapter 1, not 18.
Oh, okay. So
that's it, 118.
Okay. See, I'm still learning how to find things.
Well, that's good.
All right, so 118 is, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Now, this is the King James version that my husband had.
So read it again and we'll talk about it. That's good.
Okay.
You'll be my reader today.
I'll be the reader,
all
yes. Right. So I can find things, but I'm doing better. All right. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord."
All right. So that's the first part. Come now. You got to want to go. You got to really want to go to the Lord. That didn't mean you want to tell everybody your stuff. That didn't mean you want to, risk being jumped at if you do confess something really bad or harmful. You want to make sure you're going first to the Lord, and then he can tell you, impress you, where to go or who to visit, who to say things to. You want to go, but it's a relationship. It's not formula. Everybody's got to hear, and everybody's got to, want to do it if that's what you feel. All right.
So just questions about that.
Okay.
How do you come to the Lord?
Okay, very good.
Yeah, come now. How do you do that?
Well, in the Bible,
how do you interpret that?
Yeah, a person has to believe that God is there.
Okay.
That was the first step. That's even a verse. I can't quote it right now and get it accurately, but it says a person who has faith must first believe that God is there, to have mm-hmm. your faith. So it's a invisible realm. I guess you have to guess to, it's a walk in a plank. Can you trust that he's really there?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Some people don't have that. Some people do have it more, and there's nothing wrong with either way. But we're saying come means not just me alone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what the people do. They may stone me if I let them know or if I talk about it, but God won't. He is the invisible God, the creator of heaven and earth. That's all I can say. The mega God can go micro, mega to micro with you. Just by yourself. That's how I feel.
Okay. I have to think on that some
okay.
more. Now, let us reason together. How do you interpret
okay.
that?
If you were to picture a person, like we were talking earlier about Adam and Eve and the garden. After Adam told them not to sin, Adam chose to sin. He willfully participated. So God confronted Adam, this firstborn son, out of respect. Adam had messed up the whole organic garden of the future. Mm-hmm. Here comes God in Genesis 3, and it says, God says, Adam, he went and found Adam, not Eve, but Adam in chain of command, and he said, Adam, where are you? He went toward Adam in a relationship. He didn't go hurling invectives, cussing him out, berating Adam. I know you sinned. You're the devil itself. I know, like parents might, or authorities, you know, wrong kind. So we want to say, how does Adam, God approach Adam? Then later Eve, he approached them with respect. So it's a matter of invisible understanding that, I hope I'm answering anything right, but that he's there, but then you can go to him by faith. And it's the by faith part that is the mysterious. You can just start talking to him, say, God, if you're there, you know, God, if you're there, if you're really there, and then you could read the Bible or, you know, Psalms or something. But he will let you know with peace. He'll let you know with James 3:17, peace, pure, peaceable, easily entreated, full of mercy and good fruit without partiality. That's my favorite litmus test for me for trying to decide if it's really God in your heart talking back. But anyway, did I get off the topic?
No, I think you got it. I have to say, you know, I guess it's a right, this language is so poetic and beautiful. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, which though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Don't quite get that, wool. But
white wool.
White wool,
the,
okay.
Of the sheep.
Okay, now I got it. So this really talks about forgiveness.
Yeah. In other words, in the Old Testament, and even now, there is always a need for somebody to repent. There's always somebody need to go to God, who is the eternal God, that will meet on the last day, you know, when it's too late to turn around, the final day. So God has, throughout his Bible, Old Testament and New, his ways of procedure that is his protocol to get our sins blocked out for eternity, that our sins don't keep us captive. You know, when you have sin, or you have, it's like a disease, it keeps you stronghold. You're bitter, you're angry, you're vengeful, you're biased, whatever it is, you can't forgive yourself even. So that is a stronghold, or that can make you dysfunctional, hurt, can keep you blocked from receiving the joy and life, you know, the good things in life. So God doesn't want you hindered. He wants you to go to him, and he's really tenderhearted if you do, you know, if you follow the advice of the Lord in the Bible and protocol. Men and women can goof it up, but we're talking straight Bible. So he says, come. And I picture Adam and Eve in the garden when God had to confront Adam. He didn't belittle him. He didn't make him hurt. He wanted Adam to man up, stand up, fess up, and maybe they could have, you know, worked it out. Okay.
I like that.
Okay. Does that answer anything?
Yeah, no, it is. It's an interesting passage. I like, let us reason together. That it's a mutual thing.
It's a mutual thing.
If you believe.
Yeah, no, it's a mutual thing from the fact that many people have a concrete image of God in this type of topic. They think, oh, I've sinned, therefore I can't go to God, I can't go anywhere, or he will hit me with a religious rock. He will punish me. He's got a lightning bolt. That is in the embedded mindset, mind fields of this world. It really is in a lot of Christian religion, a lot of other faiths, a lot of us just people, black, white, brown. So we're trying to just paint a portrait, a point of view that says God is unconditional. And I don't know about you, but in my life, I've had a lot of people do some stuff that were not, that was really bad, really bad attack. But I know me. I know God, and I say, I gotta go to God for my stuff that I goof up, and I want him to always take me back and forgive me and let me start all over, and he does. I have to also do the same for anybody else, dysfunctional, well-meaning or not, even cruel. I've got to do it. And one of the pictures, a verse, excuse my lip gets water, one of the pictures for that is, this verse says, though, no matter what, it's unconditional. So I say for myself, I've got to do it. I want to do it in this ministry as a person. I want to do it from here on out because time is short and then it's too late for anybody. So this is what we're doing. I think in light of the New Testament, what goes along with that would be Jesus Christ's warning. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ said, if you don't forgive everybody their sins, everybody, then when you get to heaven, he won't forgive your sins. That's in Matthew somewhere. I can't tell you where, but it is. So I think in light of that, I don't want to be shocked, caught unaware, unfound, you know, that when I get to heaven, I had all these things that I, you know, I wanted forgiveness for, and I thought I got it, but I never forgave the people who hurt my parents, the people who hurt me, the people who did me wrong, the people who talked about, I would say including yourself. Even if I goof up, I have to forgive myself. I don't want to make a legalism out of it, but there is a stronghold in a lot of people that they cannot, they think it's too late. And that's what I'm trying to get all fanned out there, you know, stirred up about.
For me, that is a very tough topic. I can think of people in my life who, for one reason or another, felt like they injured me or were cruel or did stuff like that. And it's only recently that I'm able to kind of step back and think, okay, you know, I still don't have to have anything to do with them, but I can, not action needed, but I can... not wish them ill. I can.
That's it. You do
not wish them ill, and you know they have their own struggles. But so that and I've been coming to maybe getting so old helps but with that and gives you perspective.
Time helps the fact that many times if people really did you damage really bad, you have a trauma.
Yeah.
You can have a visceral memory that surges up. I used to have that. All right. A visceral memory can come up thinking of all the horrible stuff that they did because you still were very, I mean, literally, you're human. You're not, nobody's perfect. So I found that with God's grace, your will to do it is important. I want to, you know, I forgave them by faith. That didn't mean I always don't get triggered by the old memory or the old nightmare that it was because you forgave them by faith, but you know, God knows your heart. So you keep on going, and as Pam has said, it'll over time, that will make a big difference. It will heal. Only God can forgive us, and you know, none of us. In the Bible, there is such a technical thing as there's the sin of omission. We didn't do it. Mm-hmm. That's a sin. I don't get hyped up, but listen, you got to be real. There's omission, commission, and then whatever else, unforgiveness. There's a lot of stuff. So it's just doing your best, and God gives grace. So when you go down to the bottom line is, he is there, and he will forgive.
And but along with that, the world, it has been brutal for a long time. I forget who said it, human life, nasty, brutish, in short. Don't know if I'm quoting that right, and I may not be. But particularly all the horrible things happening in the world now. And it is forgiveness for those things, you know, forgiveness for, you know, slaughtering babies and burning families alive, and raping women.
My perspective is, if you know it's that bad, God knows how bad it is. I would fear for their sake. You can picture.
Let me just turn this off. Sorry.
That's all right. I would say we deal with it every day in politics, in humanity, suffering, weird stuff, really do. And we have to draw a line because there are two things in that. You take on the cares of the world, the fear of the world. That's what I found myself. Mm-hmm. And you have to watch out. You have to make sure your focus is not lost or you're not sucked into it, drawn into it. The other part is there is the human condition, which she describes, which is very real, very raw, and at present, really raw. Now, the issue is, you'll have to tell what you, I want you to tell what you said about the when the YouTube you wanted me to see in a minute.
Oh,
that ties in.
I
all right.
That, yeah.
But the issue is that you need to know where to draw the line on how much you take in, how much you don't, for your own health, you know, safety and sanity, and then be able to pray. The other part is it will always be here until Jesus, you know, until we get to heaven. The issue is that we have to forgive with faith. It isn't easy. I can't have an answer completely, but it's almost like Christ on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is their choice. That is their choice. If they do it, wow. I do not want to know what they're going to go through if they don't ask, you know, repent and get it right with the Lord. But I cannot take it on either. That's the bar. You know, the bottom line is healthy, what is healthy, what is right. If you read Psalm 107, I believe it was, Psalm 107, either Psalm 107, 109, it's what the Hebrew people prayed against their enemies. You can do that. But we still have to have a bottom line of keeping a merry heart apart from that, that does good as a medicine, you know. But you told me today this will help break up that heavy thought. I didn't, it's
Okay.
not, it's very complex. All right, you told me of, what was it, the Babylon
Okay,
Bee?
yes,
Okay.
I'm a fan of the Babylon Bee. They have wonderful humor and satire, and I happened, as I was procrastinating this morning, I was looking at YouTube and I found a piece about the devil resigning. If you have a chance, it is just hilarious, and the main point was he's not needed anymore these
That was
days.
it. He
Yeah,
resigned because he wasn't needed anymore. He's
not
got enough
needed anymore,
help, you
which
know.
is
That's what it's like.
so. And the guy who portrayed him was hysterical. Was very, very good. So if
Yes.
you're looking for some humor,
That's
check
right.
that out.
You
Yeah.
know, there's a time in Ecclesiastes, a time to mourn, a time to rejoice. You got to know which part of your day. You got to know which part of your life to do what. You know, some of it's forced upon you and you can't help it. Sometimes you're. You know, you've got to turn the news off and then draw back and think, what am I really doing? You know, what, how do I handle this? But it right now it is not the same and it has been insane. You know, who knows? But I think what we're going to talk about, which is what I'm shifting to, is wellness. Whole, it's really wholeness. How to keep whole in an insane world when everything's on fire. You know, it's like one moment at a time, you keep your peace and then when you have to, you deal with it. When you have to, you see the dysfunction. When you have to, you put out the fire or you just pull away and enjoy your life anyway. It's going to be a balance. There's no formula in that, my opinion, no formula. So I don't know if I answered the question or the question was, what do you do with all this evil and suffering? You just say, I'm not going to deal with, I'm not going to not be in denial, but I'm going to know the balance in my heart, the tipping point, the tipping point. Because it's God's, it's going to deal with it ultimately. You know, I can't make it happen. I can't make it go away. I wish it would, but we're in the last days. These are the final days. So God's getting ready to show up, but he also is getting ready to, you know, move us out or deal with it. So one day at a time.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, I take all that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
In some ways, I
I
wish
don't, I
it
wish
was
I,
true, or I believed it. I think it
yeah.
would bring a lot of comfort. But no, I have a lot of skepticism,
Yeah.
but it is so helpful to me to be learning
Yeah.
more because at this advanced age, realize how ignorant I am. Such an important part of our history and culture
Yeah,
here.
it is. Interesting. It's interesting
Yeah.
with doing, I love to do this. My point is, I've been around, I guess I have the perspective
Yeah.
of living as the Christ follower and having the perspective of the good and evil with scripture and Holy Spirit. I really have. So I'm sort of never used to it that I want it, but I also know I don't need, I can let God, I can't make it not happen. You know, I can only make it God pray. Time and prayer, but also trust the Lord is the only way to keep your safe. What does it say? Psalm 91, enter into the secret place of the Most High. Let me go down one more thing to just leave it out there for parents and kids as well. All right, the tipping point. My advice is to be aware, know in your spirit, know in your heart how much to listen to, how much to not. You got to keep your tipping point. Your tipping point is when you're cheerful, joyful, alert, knowing, you know, focusing on the good, powerful things in your life, in your heart. When it gets bogged down with all this bad stuff, that's when you stop and you think, I'm going to turn the TV off. I'm going to get rid of it and think on positive things, exercise, family, and count what's going right. That's what I'm going to do. So anyway, this has been fun.
This has been We're going fun. To close We're it. Going to do this some more.
Yeah, let's do it. This is Pam Lowy and Tavo DRC signing off for now. God bless you.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. That was so interesting.
Yeah, you're so good at it. You're just right in there,
no,
girl.
I'm thinking you're good.